When life feels overwhelming, most of us think we need a significant change to feel better, like a new job, a vacation, or a total reset. But here's the truth. We don't develop good mental health through grand gestures. We develop it through the small, everyday habits we practice, like the way we start our mornings, the words we use when we mess up, or whether we allow ourselves a good night's sleep. These habits might feel ordinary, even too simple to matter, but when they stack up brick by brick, they create a sense of stability that protects our mental health. And the best part? Our kids are watching us. They learn how to care for themselves by seeing how we care for ourselves. Today, I want to share 7 healthy life habits that you can easily implement to improve your mental health and at the same time, teach your kids what real emotional well-being looks like. Most of us didn't grow up with this kind of modeling. Our parents didn't talk about mental health, and they didn't have the tools we have today. They just pushed through, staying busy, hiding their struggles, or brushing everything off. The problem is, when we don't deal with our stress, loneliness, or exhaustion, it doesn't just vanish. It shows up in the way we carry ourselves. But here's the hopeful part. It only takes small, intentional life habits to change our well-being. Here's the thing nobody teaches us. Emotional self-management is actually a skill we have to learn, just like riding a bike or cooking dinner. Most of us never learned how to handle our emotions in healthy ways. We just picked up whatever we saw growing up and called it normal. But self-management, being able to notice when stress is building, knowing how to calm ourselves down, and creating routines that keep us steady are learnable skills. And when we develop these skills, it changes everything, not just for us, but for everyone around us. For years, my stress response was simple. Yell. Teenagers pushing back? Yelling. House falling apart? More yelling. Someone leaving the dishes in the sink after I'd asked 3 times? You better believe they were to get an earful. It was my default setting. When the pressure built up, I just explode. I learned this from watching my mom, and she was an expert at it. So I thought this was just how you handled stress. You got loud, you got your point across, and eventually people listened. Except they weren't listening. One day, my husband said something that stopped me cold. He said, "You know, the louder you get, the less we hear you. We just shut down." But it wasn't his words that changed everything. It was the look on my daughter's face. Not anger, not defiance, just this quiet, resigned sadness. Like she was watching someone she loved become someone she didn't even recognize. That's when I realized I had a choice. I could keep doing what felt automatic and familiar, or I could figure out a different way, because living in that constant cycle of explosion and regret was exhausting everyone, especially me. So here are 7 healthy life habits I have learned along the way. Welcome to the Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate podcast. If you want to stop yelling, end the daily power struggles, or manage your frustration better, but don't know how, you're in the right place. I get it. I was there too. As a grandma, I finally started learning the emotional life skills I wish I'd learned at a younger age. Each week, I share simple, practical resources that help you develop your own social skills so that you can be the calm, confident inspiration to others. New episodes drop every Thursday, so hit that subscribe button. And hey, if something here speaks to you, leaving a quick review helps others find this podcast too. Like a lighthouse, steady and strong, Let's all shine a little brighter today. Here are my 7 healthy life habits. Number 1, daily gratitude. I know, I get it. Everyone talks about gratitude until it feels like it's just another thing on the to-do list. But here's the thing about gratitude that nobody tells you. It's not about pretending everything's perfect. It's about training your brain to notice what's actually working, even when everything else feels like chaos. And here's how you can implement it. Keep it simple. Before you get out of bed in the morning, think of 3 things you're grateful for. Not big, life-changing things, just real things. Like the coffee that's about to happen, the fact that you slept through the night, that your kid actually put their dishes in the dishwasher yesterday. That's it. And number 2, take movement breaks. Movement isn't about punishment or fixing your body. It's about releasing the physical tension that stress creates. When we're anxious or overwhelmed, our bodies hold on to that energy. It sits on our shoulders, our jaw, our chest. Movement helps us literally shake it off. And here's how you can implement it. Set a timer for every hour. When it goes off, move for 2 minutes. That's it. Just 2 minutes. Dance to a song. Do jumping jacks. Stretch your arms over your head. Walk to the mailbox. The goal isn't to break a sweat. It's to break the stress cycle. And number 3, mindful breathing. Mindful breathing sounds so basic that most people skip right over it. But your breath is the fastest way to tell your nervous system that you're safe. When we're stressed, our breathing gets shallow and rapid. When we're calm, it's slow and deep. The beautiful thing is, we can use our breath to change our state of mind. And here's how you can implement it. The 4-7-8 technique, which I've mentioned in a previous episode. You breathe in for 4 counts, hold for 7, breathe out for 8. And do this 3 times whenever you notice you're feeling tense. In the car, before a difficult conversation, when your kid is having a meltdown, and you can feel yourself about to lose it. It works. And then there's a mindful moment. A mindful moment isn't meditation. It isn't sitting cross-legged humming. A mindful moment is just paying attention to what's actually happening right now instead of living in your head. Most of us spend our days either replaying what happened yesterday or worrying about what might happen tomorrow. And we miss the actual moment we're in. So here's how you can implement it. Pick something you do every day and make it your mindful moment trigger, such as washing your hands, drinking your morning coffee, or walking from the car to the house. When you're doing that thing, just be present with it. Feel the water, taste the coffee, and notice how your feet feel on the ground. 30 seconds. That's all. And number 5, prioritize sleep. I used to think sleep was for people who didn't have enough to do. I wore exhaustion like a badge of honor. Look how busy I am. Look how much I'm handling. Look how I can function on 4 hours of sleep. What I didn't realize is that when you're sleep deprived, everything is harder. Your emotions are more intense. Your patience is thinner. And your ability to handle stress completely disappears. So here's how you can implement it. Start with your bedtime routine, not your bedtime. 1 hour before you want to be asleep, start winding down. Dim the lights. Put the phone away. Do something quiet. Your brain needs time to transition from day mode to sleep mode. And treat that hour like it's sacred, because it is. And number 6, spend a few minutes outdoors. There's something about being outside that our nervous systems recognize as healing. It could be the fresh air. Maybe it's the natural light. Maybe it's just a reminder that there's a world beyond our problems. But spending time outdoors, even just a few minutes, has this way of putting things in perspective. You can implement this by the 3-2-1 grounding technique, but outside. Just step outside your door and notice 3 things you can see, 2 things you can hear, and 1 thing you can touch, even if it's just for 30 seconds, even if it's freezing and you're in your pajamas and slippers. You can notice the winter air hitting your face, the sound of wind in the trees, or the texture of your doorframe under your hand. You could also throw on a coat and walk to the end of your driveway. Maybe park a little farther away when you're running errands. The goal isn't to become an outdoorsy person. It's just to remind your nervous system that there's a world beyond your 4 walls. And 7, a small act of kindness. This one might surprise you, but doing something kind for someone else is one of the fastest ways to improve your mental health. When we're struggling, we get tunnel vision. We focus on our problems, our stress, our overwhelm. When we show kindness, it breaks us out of that self-focus and reminds us that we're connected to other people. So make eye contact and smile at one stranger every day. Let someone go ahead of you in line. Or send a quick text to someone telling them you're thinking about them. Maybe hold the door open and actually mean it when you say, "Have a good day." It's not about them. It's about reminding yourself that you're part of something bigger. Here's what I love about these habits. You don't have to sit your kids down and explain them. You just do them. And kids naturally pick up on what you're modeling. When they see you taking deep breaths instead of losing it, they learn that's an option. When they see you stepping outside when you're stressed, they start doing it too. And when they hear you saying what you're grateful for, they start noticing good things in their lives. Kids don't need perfect parents. They need parents who are trying, who are taking care of themselves, who show them that managing emotions is a skill you can learn. Every time you choose one of these habits instead of reacting to stress, you're teaching them that there's another way. So your challenge for this week, pick one. Just one of these habits. I know the temptation is try to do all 7 because you want to feel better right now. But here's the thing. Trying to change everything at once usually means changing nothing. So pick the one that feels most doable, most appealing, or most needed right now. At the end of the week, you can add another one. But for now, just focus on one. Make it so easy you can't fail. Because the goal isn't about perfection. It's about building a foundation, one small habit at a time. In conclusion, mental health isn't about having it all together. It's about having tools that work when things fall apart. These 7 healthy life habits aren't magic, but they're reliable. They're the kind of habits that when you do them consistently, create a sense of stability that you can count on. And maybe that's what our kids need most from us. Not to see us as perfect, but to see us as people who know how to take care of ourselves when life gets hard. Because life will get hard for them too. And the best gift we can give them is knowing it's possible to get through it with grace. Whether you're figuring out your own feelings, working through a tough moment as a family, or learning how to talk things through with others, you're practicing the emotional life skills that help us grow into the people we want to be. Listening is great, but nothing changes if you don't actually use what you've just learned. So pick one idea from today and try it out this week. That's when the magic happens. And if you want to keep building your social skills, hit follow for more from Lessons for Life with Grandma Kate. And if no one has told you lately, everything will be okay. Tomorrow is a new day, and with it comes new hope. As I conclude this episode, I must state that this podcast is designed solely for educational and entertainment purposes. While I bring my experience as a parent and grandparent, it's essential that you know I am not a licensed therapist. This podcast is not a substitute for professional advice from a physician, professional coach, psychotherapist, or other qualified professional. Got it? Awesome. Until next time, what is one thing you are grateful for?